Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. If you have a Bible question or some troublesome life issue you'd like to discuss, we'd love to hear about it right now and take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the person of Jesus Christ and walking in His life every day. The lines are open for you right now at 844-322-2742, and that, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, that number is wide open, 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on today's edition of Basic Gospel. If you have a question about a life circumstance, about a Bible passages that you might be confused with, go ahead and call right now, 844-322-2742. Wanted to make mention right at the top of the broadcast that we have a brand new video up on our YouTube channel. And I think it's a timely video in light of the suffering that many people have experienced as a result of this coronavirus. And it deals with the subject of suffering. If God is good, why do we suffer in this world? And I think you will find it very beneficial as we go into the Word of God and seek out what the Bible has to say about suffering and where God is in the midst of that suffering as far as we're concerned. So check that out at basicgospel.net/YouTube, basicgospel.net/YouTube. While you're there, if you haven't subscribed, be sure and subscribe to the YouTube channel and click the bell, and then you will be notified when future videos are uploaded. So take advantage of that, basicgospel.net/YouTube. Well, we're working through Romans chapter 8, and that is our resource of the month, When God is for You. And it is a detailed look at Romans chapter 8 through four messages. We want to put that into your hands as our way of saying thank you for your gift to Basic Gospel this month. But we're looking at Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 31 today for a few minutes, and then we will start answering phone calls. Paul says this, "What then shall we say to these things?" And he's talking about the things that he's just listed out, the fact that there is no condemnation, therefore, for those who are in Christ Jesus. He's talking about the fact that the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. He's talking about the fact that the law has been fulfilled in us. He's talking about the fact that we've been taken out of the flesh and placed in the Spirit. We've had a change of location. It's talking about the fact that God's Spirit now lives in us, and that God's Spirit bears witness with our human spirit that indeed we are children of God. He's talking about the fact that all of this life that we're experiencing now is anchored in hope. We haven't fully realized the redemption that Jesus Christ purchased for us 2,000 years ago. That is going to be fully realized when we have new bodies and we are revealed when Christ comes back in all of His glory. At that point, creation will be liberated from its bondage, and we'll experience the new heavens, the new earth, and all that the gospel has promised for us, this hope that anchors our souls today. He's talking about the fact that God works all things together for our good, the fact that those who have been called have been justified and they have been sanctified and they will be glorified. Those are the things that Paul is talking about. So in light of these things, what shall we say? If God is for us, and so based on everything he's laid out, that's the only conclusion that you can come to, that God is for us. He's not against us. Otherwise, he would have never sent his son. Otherwise, he would have never done the things that he did for us through Christ Jesus. So if God is for us, who can be against us? Me and God, we can stand against anything. That's basically what Paul is trying to communicate to us in this particular passage. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? So just the simple fact that God offered up Jesus on our behalf means that in Christ, he's going to graciously give us all things, everything that we need for life and godliness. And indeed, that's exactly what he's done. So who shall bring any charge against God's elect? If God has justified us, if God has declared us right in his sight, if God has broken the power of sin and death in our lives through the law of the Spirit of life, who is going to be able to bring up any charge against us? Who is going to be able to make a case against us? No one. That is the good news. No one. Why? Because it is God who justifies. If God justifies, who is going to have the power to condemn us? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. So with Christ and all that Christ has accomplished on our behalf, the only conclusion that we can draw from that is that God is for us. And if we can allow that truth to soak deep within our souls, we'll begin walking confidently in this world in which we live in right now. And regardless of what life throws our way, whether good or bad, we don't have to be deterred from our relationship with Jesus Christ. We don't have to let that be a negative in how we relate to God through Jesus Christ the Son. So, folks, the good news of the gospel is that God is for you. He's declared it. He's demonstrated it. He's proved it over and over through Jesus Christ. So let this truth sink into your mind. Let this truth soak deep into your soul and see the confidence and the conviction of heart start bubbling up inside of you and watch you be able to take the accusations of the enemy and just turn them on their head and say, "Get away from me. I know that God has justified me. I know that he is for me, and therefore I am going to walk in victory." Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher. We're so glad that you have joined us. The line to call right now is 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. If you have a question that you would like to pose on today's broadcast, go ahead and call right now. Again, the number 844-322-2742. As I was saying at the top of the hour, we have a wonderful resource that we want to put in your hands this month. It is a 4-message CD series entitled When God is For You. And as I said, it is a deep look into Romans chapter 8. This is the pinnacle of the Bible. All roads basically lead to Romans chapter 8. This is what victorious living in Christ is all about. We want you to know about this. We want you to experience victorious living. That's why we've produced this series, to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ. So we encourage you to take advantage of this special offer. It's available to you for a gift this month, the Basic Gospel. You can make your gift by going to basicgospel.net. Just click the donate button and follow all the instructions. And while you're there, be sure and request When God is For You. If you would like to make a contribution by phone, call 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742. Talk to Michelle. She will walk you through that process, and we will get When God is For You out to you as quickly as we possibly can. So again, go to basicgospel.net or call 844-322-2742 to request your copy of When God is For You. Well, we do have some open lines right now, 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast of Basic Gospel. In the meantime, we're going to go and take a call that came in overnight. This is from Brock.
Hi, my name is Brock. My question is it possible to fall from grace while trying to work out your salvation and
Well, Brock, that is a great question. As far as falling from grace once you're saved, that's an impossibility. As Paul says in Romans chapter 5, once we've been justified, we have peace with God, and that we are standing in the grace of God. That's the realm of our existence right now, is within the grace of God. So every step that we take, we're in this bubble of God's grace. Now, that's a reality, which means that we can never lose salvation, that we are always saved. Once Jesus has saved us, that is a permanent salvation. He's not saved us temporarily. He hasn't given us a reprieve, or he hasn't said, hey, I will save you if you do this, this, and this. He simply saves us by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And once that happens, we go from death to life. God sends his Spirit into our hearts as the seal, as the deposit guaranteeing our future redemption, that future body, that new resurrection body that's going to be given to us. So it's a done deal. It is a done deal. We can count on that. So when Paul talks about falling from grace in Galatians chapter 5, he's not talking about losing salvation. He's talking about those who are trying to find salvation through obedience to the law. So he says, for freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Look, I, Paul, say to you that if you accept circumcision, Christ will be of no advantage to you. So what he's saying is that if you think that you have to follow the customs of Moses, that you have to be circumcised in order to be saved, then Christ is no advantage to you. There was no reason for Christ to come to take upon himself flesh and blood and to offer himself as that once for all sacrifice for sin, if salvation could come through circumcision. I testify again to every man who accepts circumcision that he is obliged to keep the whole law. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. You have fallen away from grace. So Paul is saying, hey, I came into the province of Galatia, and I spoke clearly about the grace of God that has been poured out in Jesus Christ, and I have made the case for grace as the only means for salvation. And now these other guys, these Judaizers, are coming into the province, and they are saying the complete opposite. For you to be a true Christian, you need to follow the customs of Moses. You need to be circumcised. So if you were thinking about what I said and believing that grace was the way of salvation, and now these Judaizers have persuaded you that there's a different way to be saved, then you've fallen from grace to the law, and you are choosing the law as your means of salvation. And Paul is going to repeat again, no one is going to be declared righteous through obedience to the law. You can get circumcised, you can obey the law to your fullest potential, but it's never going to be enough. Why? Because you have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You will never be able to bring enough good works to the table for God to say, hey, you're in. I'm going to justify you based on your good works. So Paul is saying here, don't let these Judaizers persuade you to think differently about the gospel. Go full in with the grace of God. Why? Because that's the only means for you to be saved. Well, Brock, thanks for that great question. We hope that is helpful. If you have other questions, be sure and call us again. We would love to hear from you again on any subject that you have going on in your mind. We have this question from Yvette, who is watching us right now through our YouTube web stream. And she says, hi, I would like for you all to explain what is blaspheming the Holy Spirit. I read in Matthew chapter 12, and I believe, and I'm not quite sure what's the difference in blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And she says, thanks. Well, Yvette, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit back then, as far as the Pharisees were concerned, it was attributing the works of Jesus to Satan or to Beelzebub. So they had watched Jesus perform miracles. They had heard him teach, and they had realized that he was teaching with authority. And they are saying, they're asking the question, what's the source of his power as far as the miracles are concerned? What is the source of his authority as far as the teaching is concerned? And they concluded that Jesus was functioning under the power of Satan himself, that Satan was moving in Jesus to produce these miracles and to bring about this teaching. So that was blasphemy against the Spirit. Why? Because it was the Spirit of God that was the source of power as far as the miracles were concerned. It was the Spirit of God basically speaking through Jesus as far as the teaching was concerned. So they were attributing the works of God's Spirit to Satan. Now, how does that translate to us? How do we identify blasphemy of the Holy Spirit or the unpardonable sin? Well, God has sent the Spirit out into the world to convict the world wrong about three things: about sin, righteousness, and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in Jesus. So what is the Spirit of God doing for unbelievers? He is convicting them wrong about sin. Now, if they reject Jesus and reject the offer of life, then they are rejecting the work of the Spirit. And in rejecting the work of the Spirit, they simply remain dead spiritually. And as they continue to reject, their hearts are going to be hardened to a point that they may say, God, I want nothing to do with you. I don't want anything to do with your Jesus. I don't want anything to do with his story. I want to be left alone so that I can live my life the way I want to live it and do the things that I want to do, when I want to do them, how I want to do them. So get away from me. Now, that's basically what the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is. It is rejecting the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is rejecting that offer of life as if you were saying the work of the Spirit is coming from the devil himself. So what is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit today? It is simply rejecting Jesus Christ. It is hardening the heart toward Jesus and holding up that fist and saying, I want nothing to do with you. And if you stay in that state until you die, when you die, you're going to experience eternal death. You're going to experience eternal separation from God. That's why we do what we do here on Basic Gospel. That's why we encourage you to be a voice for the gospel in your sphere of influence. Why? Because there are many people who are dead in trespasses and sins right around you who need this offer of life. So you be a voice, you share the good news, share it in the power of God's Spirit, share it in love, and then leave the results in God's hand. So again, what is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit today? It is the unpardonable sin. It simply is the rejection of Jesus Christ. That's what the unpardonable sin is. And gosh, we just pray those that are listening today will realize, if they've never come to faith in Jesus Christ, that today is the day of their salvation. Today is the day when they truly believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins, that they truly believe that Jesus was raised so that they could have life everlasting, and that today they would receive him and be made alive through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, Yvette, I hope that was helpful to you. If you want to know more about the unpardonable sin, again, we can point you to our YouTube channel, basicgospel.net/YouTube. We have a video specifically on that subject. What is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. We have some open lines available at 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast, so please call right now, and we will get to your call as soon as we possibly can. Well, let's go and talk to this particular caller who called overnight.
Yeah, I have a question. If a person's been saved, repented, and their life changes, are they required to get baptized? And are they required by biblical to be circumcised at all? Anyway, please answer my question. Thank you.
Well, we certainly appreciate that question. As far as circumcision, absolutely not. Circumcision was a sign for the Jew that they were marked as one of the people of God. It began with Abraham, and it continued all the way through until the time of Jesus. It's still done today, but that was an outward sign, and it was to point to a spiritual reality that was going to take place through the gospel. So there's a passage in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6, that talks about a time when God would circumcise the hearts of the people so that they could love him and with all their heart, soul, and mind. Well, he's talking about a spiritual circumcision, something that takes place by the Spirit of God. So when you and I come to faith in Jesus Christ, our hearts are spiritually circumcised, and they become new hearts through faith in Jesus Christ, new believing hearts. So that has already taken place. Now, as far as water baptism is concerned, that's not part of the gospel. God doesn't say in order for us to be saved, you need to believe in Jesus and then be baptized in water. Paul talked about that in his first letter to the Corinthians. He said, God did not send me to baptize. He sent me to preach the gospel. And that's what he did. So if baptism was a part of the gospel, then he wouldn't have made that statement. So no, we don't have to be baptized in water in order to be saved. The Bible speaks of a spiritual baptism. John the Baptist baptized with water. Jesus was going to baptize us with the Holy Spirit. And that's the baptism that matters. So when we're born again, we're baptized, we're placed into the body of Christ by the Spirit of God. And that's a reality for every single believer. Now, we celebrate that through water baptism. So water baptism is a celebration for the body of Christ. So every time somebody new comes to Jesus and is placed into the body by the Spirit of God, they can make a public confession of that faith and through water baptism. And it's a time when that person can rejoice and the body of Christ can rejoice with that person as well. So it's a marvelous, marvelous a ceremony, a celebration, but it's not an obligation. You don't have to be baptized in water in order to be saved. Otherwise, the thief on the cross would have never been with Jesus in paradise that very day that he was crucified, because he had no chance to be baptized in water. So water baptism is symbolic of the spiritual baptism that we've all experienced through faith in Jesus Christ. And it is a wonderful celebration, but it is not necessary to be saved. Well, thank you for joining us on this edition of Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher. We'll look forward to being with you again tomorrow at this same time. Until then, we will see you then.